This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You've said repeatedly that you think that some of the equipment that governors are requesting, they don't actually need. You said,
you know,
that
why don't you people act? Let me ask you.
You said
why
some
don't
state.
You act, why don't you act in a little more positive? It's always trying to
my
get
question
you.
To you.
Get
is,
you, get you. And you know what? That's why nobody trusts the media anymore. Look, let me tell you something. Be nice. Don't
Mr.
be
President,
threatening.
My question
don't
is,
be threatening. Be nice.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
We sent thousands of generators to New York. They were put into a warehouse. The people in New York never distributed the generators. I hope they've distributed them now, but maybe they didn't need them so badly.
Were there ventilators found in a storage facility?
That is incorrect and grossly uninformed. We have ventilators in a stockpile. And we didn't send them to the hospitals yet.
That's exactly what he said.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
If you go to your synagogue, if you go to your church, after having been told so often not to, our enforcement agents will have no choice but to shut down those services.
It's important just go about your lives, continue living as you have. New Yorkers should go about our lives, continue doing what we do.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat.
We want people still to go on about their lives.
We should not be focusing, in my view, on anything looking back.
Unchained and unstoppable.
He said one of those ships would be operational in New York Harbor by next week. It's nonsense. It will not be there next week.
The Comfort now is just pulling into dock here in Midtown Manhattan.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
So much fake news. So little time. But the key thing today is, as Humble Pie once sang, 30 days in the hole. 30 more days in the hole. But we'll get through it. 844-500-4242. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, and we'll get to all of that. Another nice intro by Taylor today. He had a lot to work with. We didn't even have to delve into the Joe Biden malaprops. I suppose you could call them.
I wanted you to unveil those.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, unfortunately, I think we're about to enter a brief shortage of Joe Biden screw-ups, because obviously he's not making any more campaign appearances. Then he decided to make some virtual appearances. That didn't work out too well. Virtual town halls, even when he's dealing with slobbering rump swabs like Jimmy Kimmel, he couldn't stop from screwing up. So now he's gone to Plan E or Plan F, and you know what that is? Podcasts. That means you don't see his vacant eyes or his slack jaws, and they can just keep recutting it over and over and over again. You know. However many times no one's going to see it. He's basically disappearing from the campaign trail because no one's going to listen to the podcast. I mean, people listen to podcasts if they're good, like anything else. But what are the odds that Joe Biden's podcast is going to be worth anything? The odds are off the board in Vegas. 844-500-4242. How many Harlequin novels did you read? I'm not reading Harlequin novels. I'm reading Fawcett Gold Medal novels. I dipped into a long one. It's A Flash of Green by John D. MacDonald. It's over 300 pages, so it's about twice the length of the ones I usually read. So that's what I was reading all weekend this weekend. But I'm enjoying it. We should get into that in the next day or so. What are you doing to make up for the lack of going out and the lack of sports on TV and the fact that cable news gets harder and harder to watch.
Howie, I have an answer.
What's that?
Two words. Tiger King. Anyone who knows, knows. Anyone who doesn't know, should know. It's the best docuseries on Netflix.
Okay. I think I'll stick with my gold medals. My novels. I got all this Charles Williams is coming in this week. It's going to be good. John D. McDonald said Charles Williams was always underrated, and I just started reading him recently, and I'm tending to agree with John D. McDonald. Anyway, well, I'm going to start. I want to give you some good news here. I don't know if it's good news or not, but this is a you know, the mainstream media loves these loves to scare the bleep out of people and you know, try to foment panic in the population to defeat Donald Trump. So far, it's not working out very well for him, but they never give up. So this is from the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. John Heinerach, our friend from powerlineblog.com, came up with this. But it seems like it's a legit group, Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, and they're from the University of Washington, a public school. You would think they would be liberal, but they are expecting that the Chinese virus deaths will peak in the U.S. on April 13th, 2 weeks from now. And the max number of deaths is going to be 2341. This is just their deaths per day chart. You got it up there. We should probably tweet it out, actually. Why is this an optimistic assessment, says John Heinderacher? For two reasons. First, the Institute expects U.S. deaths to peak soon and then begin to decline. That might reduce the hysteria that, in this instance, may be worse than the disease. I couldn't agree more. Second, the Institute projects total deaths from COVID-19 in the U.S. to be only 81,114, with not many additional deaths after around mid-May. And he's got the graphs here too that are right from the. Again, we'll tweet this out in the next break. Does 81,000 sound like a lot of deaths? In a country of 330 million, it actually isn't. In 2018, the CDC tells us that there were 2,840,000 deaths in the U.S. 81,000 would be less than 3% of that total. Just 2 years ago, the Centers for the Disease Control say that the seasonal flu virus killed 61,000 Americans while generating almost no publicity and zero public hysteria. That's worth remembering, too. Okay, then he goes into the principal causes of death in the U.S. Again, remember, the University of Washington, this institute is predicting 81,000 deaths, not 100,000, not 200,000 deaths, not 2 million deaths, which that guy in the U.K. was predicting a few weeks ago, and 500,000 in the British Isles, at which he cut down from 500,000 to 20,000, half of which would have died anyway from underlying causes. But anyway, heart disease kills about 650,000 in the U.S. every year. 650,000. Cancer kills 600,000. Accidents, 170,000. Chronic lower respiratory diseases, 160,000. I guess that would mean emphysema, stuff like that? Stroke, 146,000. Alzheimer's, 121,000. Diabetes, 84,000. So in other words, the COVID-19, according to this latest study from the University of Washington, will kill fewer Americans than diabetes does on an average basis. Influenza and pneumonia, 55,000. Suicides, 47,000. So there it is, 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us, I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Ka Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Honey, the easiest way to find the biggest discounts online. It's free to use and will have you saving money in minutes. It's really good, especially during this time when you're shopping more online. There's no reason not to save money. Download Honey today at joinhoney.com/Howie. joinhoney.com/Howie. Now, as you know, last week, the vice president, the former vice president, gave Charlie Baker, the governor of Massachusetts, a new name. He called him Charlie Parker. I, of course, refer to Charlie Baker, because he's 6'4", as Tall Duvall. That was originally a name coined by a texter, but I took it like I took the name Corrupt Midget from a judge for Billy Bulger. But anyway, so since then, there's been talk. You know, which is a better nickname? Tall Duvall or Charlie Parker? Now, Charlie Parker was really a great musician. Superb. Killed himself at a very early age with heroin. Some could say his playing may have been enhanced by his use of drugs. Who knows? But that's what we wanted to have a poll question on today. Taylor, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which nickname for Charlie Baker do you prefer, Tall Duvall or Charlie Parker?
Because I had a hand in creating Tall Duvall, I'm still partial to Tall Duvall, even though Charlie Parker is one of my favorite all-time jazz musicians.
I believe the rest of the Howie Carr Show staff is unanimous in saying Charlie Parker is the preferred nickname. But Tall Duvall is leading 59-41.
Good. Sometimes I've had nicknames in the past, and another nickname has come by, and I knew immediately. Like, I had other nicknames for Billy Bulger, but as soon as I heard Corrupt Midget, I knew that was his nickname forever. And Charlie Parker's good, but Tall Duvall is good, too. So we have two good nicknames there. All right, 844-500-4242. We are going to tweet out that piece from powerlineblog.com, so you can study it at your leisure and pass it on. I hope they're right. Okay, we want to do, before we take a couple of calls, we want to play a couple of Joe Biden sound cuts from the weekend. I think this was Friday night on CNN. First, he's come up with many names for the virus, the Chinese virus, the coronavirus. He's sometimes referred to N1, H1. Most people call it H1, N1. He said that thing from Africa, referring to Ebola. And so he had a new name for the virus on Friday night, Cut 12.
And our Secretary of State insisted, and this broke the meeting up basically in terms of her influence, that this be called the Wuhan virus.
The Wuhan virus rhymes with Wuhan. All right. Okay. And now he's, what are we going to do? Anderson Cooper asked him, what are we going to do, Mr. Vice President? Cut 13.
I was literally on the phone at least 3 to 4 hours a day with my team talking about the detailed implementation. How do we get the money? Where do we do? Who do we go to? Who do we ask for, et cetera?
The implementation. That's because there's been an exponential increase in the number of cases, so we need to have some implementation. Okay? This is why he's switching to podcasts.
But where do you do?
Well, where is that? I even mentioned that. I was just trying to figure out how to pronounce implementation. Try that. Let's hear that one more time.
Detailed implementation. How do we get the money? Where do we do?
Where do we do? I would suggest we do United States America. Okay? 844-500-4242. Some of the texters are mentioning again that this after the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts got the $25 million in the bailout package, They then proceeded to give layoff notices to all the musicians who worked there. How typical is that? And today...
Was Charlie Parker affected?
No, but Prez was. Lester Young was affected. His buddy. Dizzy Gillespie got a pink slip, too. So, anyway, they asked him. They asked the president about that today on Fox and Friends. Brian Kilmeade seemed all... He seemed... You know, it was a legit question, and the president knew it was a legit question. I don't think he really wanted to answer it very much, but he said, look, what are we supposed to do? We're dealing here with people who have the power of the purse, as they say. He didn't use that phrase, but that's what it amounts to. And he says the only way to get around crap like this happening is for the Republicans to take over the House again so that you don't have to deal with this stuff. I mean, how cynical can you be? We need this money to protect the jobs. And then they get the money and they lay off everybody. And these are Democrats. These are liberals. What about the working man? Mr. President, have pity on the working man. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Howie, I agree with you. You're not going to be seeing much of Joe live these days. He's going to be going to written statements. And those written statements will have a great grasp of the situation at hand. They'll be insightful. He'll have solutions. Yeah. And they'll be, in fact, presidential. So you know that's coming.
Right. Well, Trump mentioned that this morning, too. He said he started to put out these great written statements. And you know damn well he didn't write the statements. He probably didn't even read the statements before they were released for him. I agree
Bingo.
With that, too. Yeah.
Bingo. And if I could just add one thing in terms of, you put the number of deaths in perspective at the beginning. The
yeah.
big difference is, Howie, is that nobody could have predicted these at the beginning. They were unnecessary, and China needs to be held accountable by every American moving forward. And that's the end of that story, because none of those 81,000 deaths, regardless of whether they're going to happen in the next year or so, should have happened when they happened.
Right. And this damage to the economy was, I don't know if it was totally preventable, but it didn't have to be this bad. We didn't have to be on lockdown for 6 weeks as a country. No reason. Thanks for the call.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. A lot of ridiculous stuff today, as always. You remember when ABC, when they had the problems in Syria with the Turks invading Syria, and they said that they were committing genocide in northern Syria, wiping out all these people. And they showed an example of the Turks bombing innocent Syrian civilians. Remember that? The ABC News, the weekend news. And it turned out it was a bunch of good old boys at a gun range in Kentucky, just drinking bonded bourbon and firing off their machine guns with tracer bullets for a good few laughs. Remember that? Well, it's happened again. This time it's CBS. Gateway pundit busted him. CBS News caught using footage from an Italian hospital to describe conditions in New York City. I mean, they were headquartered. They're not anymore, but until woman took over as the latest anchor of the dying CBS Evening News, they were headquartered in New York. They couldn't just scramble a camera crew. I know the worst outbreaks in New York City or in Queens and Brooklyn, but they couldn't cross the bridge, go over and get some video. They had to steal some video from Sky News, but indeed they did. So they have the actual the actual freeze frames, and it's the same pictures. They just stole the pictures from Sky News of an Italian hospital. Sky News is Brit. That's British. That's Rupert Murdoch's outfit, and they just took it. And it's just unbelievable. Has CBS responded to that, Taylor? Have you seen anything? Any apologies or any acknowledgments? Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. Then, now, remember Kathy Griffin? She's the one, the alleged comedian who held up the picture of Donald Trump's severed head, or a dummy of Donald Trump's severed head, a few years ago. And so last week, she tweeted out a photo of herself in the hospital in L.A. and criticized President Trump over the availability of coronavirus tests in the United States because she wanted to be tested but wasn't. So here was her tweet. She had two pictures of herself in the hospital, looking like death warmed over, as they say. I was sent to the COVID-19 isolation ward in a major hospital ER from a separate urgent care facility after showing unbearably painful. That's unbearably painful. Those are, that's all caps. Symptoms. The hospital couldn't test me for coronavirus because of CDC, Pence Task Force, restrictions. Okay? What a... How long must this go on? How long must Orange Man be bad? The day after her tweet, guess what happened?
Very fake news.
She was sent home from the hospital after being diagnosed with an abominable
abdominal, maybe?
Abdominal. Sorry about that.
She is abominable, but it was abdominal in nature.
That was my confusion. An abdominal infection, not the coronavirus. Griffin said she had recently returned from a Mexican vacation. In other words, she didn't have Chinese virus. She had Montezuma's revenge and experienced intense abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, and a cough. An X-ray revealed her lungs were clear, and a scan revealed she had an abdominal infection. Where is this in the news? Is anybody covering any of this stuff? Don't you think people should be called out for doing this BS? This was in PJ Media, and the guy says, I know you're looking for a comeback or something, but is this really the way to do it? But it got her some publicity. Sonny Perdue wrote a story headline, or USA, Sonny Perdue, he's coming up with us at 4:20. USA Today wrote a story headlined, Kathy Griffin self-isolating after hospital visit, wasn't able to get a coronavirus test. Well, maybe because she didn't need one. Is that possible? And you know what? She didn't need one, as it turned out. 844-500-4242. And I got so many of these cuts to play, I can't get to all of them. I don't want to leave them all on the table here. Joy Reid, MSNBC, tax cheat, tax scofflaw down in North Carolina. And she's the one that put out the homophobic tweets. And then when she was busted, she said that someone had hacked into her her Twitter account from 10 years ago, time-traveling trolls. And she called the FBI. Well, she's worried that Trump is going to become king. Cut 21.
Now, on this show yesterday, constitutional law professor Lawrence Tribe of Harvard University confirmed suspected all along, that Cuomo was right and Trump had no constitutional authority to claim he could quarantine whole states. And right on cue, Trump almost immediately backed down, tweeting that he has advised the CDC to issue a travel warning, but that he had determined a quarantine will, quote, not be necessary. Not necessary? Man, try not legally possible, but go off, apprentice guy, go off. Of course, it's hardly news that Trump has always had designs on reigning as a monarch with unlimited power rather than serving as a mere president in a democracy. But with the country facing an unprecedented public health crisis, what lengths might he, backed by an attorney general whose writings and actions point to a fundamental belief in an all-powerful presidency, at least when the would-be king is a Republican, what lengths might Trump go to expand his power under the guise of national security?
Where do you begin? An unprecedented national crisis. So forget the Civil War. Forget World War II. Forget Spanish flu. This is unprecedented. A Fundamental Belief in Absolute Power by Bill Barr. This is the guy who has been speaking about the fact that the deep state is being turned into a Praetorian Guard, like in the Roman Empire, overthrowing emperors. But he's an authoritarian too. You know what's unprecedented? The stupidity and the ignorance of people like Joy Reid and Kathy Griffin, and for that matter, Joe Biden. 844-500-4242. Wayne, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Wayne.
Howie, I'm calling you from Cape Cod, and I have a question.
Yes.
Why is the lottery an essential service?
Well, why? What do you mean? Is the lottery? You can still go to the grocery store and get a lottery ticket. Is that what you mean?
Yes, I've worked 48 years in the convenience store business. I'm not young.
Yeah.
I have these customers come in 5, 10, 15 times a day. They go from store to store to store because Tom
right.
Duvall has declared the lottery essential.
Well, I mean, does it really hurt anybody to have the lottery open?
It hurts us having to handle all those slips they're bringing in and all those betting slips they're bringing in.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
The governor told us we can't use a reusable bag.
But you do make some money off of it, though, right?
Not enough to take care of it. They pay us the same amount they paid us 25 years ago. What do you think wages are?
Well, I mean, I'm surprised that anyone's complaining about this. But if it bothers you, I mean, can't you get a dispensation from the lottery commission for the duration?
Would you allow your children to handle all those betting slips from them unnecessarily?
Well, I mean, if you're in a supermarket or a convenience store, I mean, you're gonna run into this problem. I mean, we've talked about it down here. The Publix markets down here, that's the big grocery chain in Florida where I am right now. They've told their people not to wear gloves because they say it's not going to do any good. And you know, everybody's complaining. The town where I live in Florida is complaining. They're saying, well, the supermarket is not doing enough to keep people 6 feet apart, the social distancing. But the supermarket manager said, what the hell am I supposed to do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't. How much do you figure you make a day? Do you own the convenience store?
Yes, I do.
So how much you figure you make every day on the lottery tickets?
After labor, probably about 25 cents. We haven't got a raise for 25 years.
No, but I mean, overall, I mean, you make 25 cents per ticket, you mean. How much do you make?
We make 5% per ticket. That doesn't cover minimum wage in Massachusetts.
I would think that your best bet is to either call, but you have a lottery vendor, right? You have somebody that comes around and talks to you, right? A sales guy from the lottery?
No, they don't come anymore. All the hackerammers get paid to stay home.
Yeah, I know that. That's been bugging me too. Why don't you call up the guy or call up your state rep and ask him if it's really bugging you? But I think it would hurt your business though, because if they don't, you're right. You have a certain number of lottery junkies. We all see them everywhere we go to do our shopping at a gas station or a supermarket or wherever, and they're gonna go to somewhere else if you don't have the tickets. It's just like convenience stores and places where they sell beer. If they don't sell beer and wine, they tend to go out of business. Right? It's gonna affect all of your business.
Unless the governor says it's not essential, it is an essential.
I don't know. I understand. Obviously, you're bugged by this, but I don't think most people are going to say that. I would give you the right to stop selling them if you want to, and you're going to pay a price though, Wayne, if you don't sell lottery tickets. Thanks for the call, Lee. You're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
Howie, can you give Kathy Griffin a message for me?
What's that?
Don't drink the water.
Yeah, when I read that she had just gotten back from a trip to Mexico, that was the first thing I thought of was Montezuma's revenge. Can you imagine if she, you think she'd have gotten a write-up in USA Today if she'd posted a picture of herself lying in the hospital bed and said, I'm a victim of Montezuma's revenge? I don't think so.
Nope, she wouldn't have got no publicity. Holly, can you help me out?
Yes.
Did you want, was there a big poll came out this morning on CBS or ABC or something? Because I heard it on the early morning news around 5 o'clock that guess who's winning in a presidential one-on-one race? From a major news source.
Oh, is this Joe Biden?
You talk about fake news. Can that even possibly be true?
No,
I mean,
well,
who'd they ask?
Wife? I don't know either. What they did was this is actually Fox News. I couldn't. I was surprised, but they took polls in 25. Battleground counties, I guess you call them. And they said that Biden had opened up a big lead, but I don't think so. Most of the polls show Trump ahead or they're running neck and neck. The bigger poll over the weekend showed Biden ahead by 2 points. I find that hard to believe, let alone 9 points ahead in these 25 battleground counties. But I mean, Lee, this is they're just even, you know, even Fox, you know, they're even Fox is, you know, with the exception of, you know, the primetime hosts and Fox and Friends is pretty much leaning left. Look, they fired Trish Regan, you know, from the Fox Business Channel just the other day. So they're they're veering left, too. I don't believe any of these polls. Do you?
No, that's what I'm calling it. Fake news. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break.
Yeah, I know. I know. How could anyone watch Joe Biden and want him to be president, especially in a situation like this when there's an emergency? You know, I mean, he's not capable of ordering takeout. He's not capable of buying a Powerball ticket. How can he manage a response to a pandemic? It's impossible. He can't remember the name of what he's of the flu virus that he's battling. Thanks for the call, Lee. 844-500-4242. Yeah, here's an 802 said. Yeah, there was another one. They asked Biden's supporters, "Are you enthusiastic?" 25% said they were enthusiastic. Yeah, you always have. Yeah, and. And they also took – there's another poll. There are all kinds of polls out all the time. There was another poll of Biden supporters. And they said, what are you going to do if – not Biden, Bernie supporters. And they said, who are you going to vote for if Bernie's not the nominee and giving away all the free stuff? 15% of them said they're voting for Trump. I mean, I'm glad they're voting for Trump. But how do you go from Bernie to Trump if you want free stuff? And then you have a guy who's bragging about putting the country back to work. I guess, of course, it's not mandatory to go back to work. So if it were mandatory to go back to work, it'd be getting 0% from the Bernie supporters. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
So, they're releasing prisoners in some states, but they're threatening to also simultaneously throw people in jail for violating curfew or not self-quarantining. And now Gina Raimondo in Rhode Island is saying, well, okay, if it's unconstitutional for me to just hassle New Yorkers, I'm going to hassle everybody coming into the state. And now Governor DeSantis down here in Florida, where I am, is starting to go after people from Louisiana. Because, see, you know, you come in the panhandle on I-10, not that far. From New Orleans, you know, you cut across Alabama, Mississippi, Alabama, and then you go into Florida. So they're chasing Louisiana residents, too, from the Pelican State. What if you rented a car? What if you rent a New York car? You know, you don't, you rent a car, you don't know what the license plate is when you get it. You just want a certain make and model, right? But if you got a New York car, all of a sudden you're in a jam, boy. Let's see them papers there, boy. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
Hey, Howie. Hey, you know, as I was watching Mr. Como today, something about what he was talking about really sounded absolutely outrageous for somebody who everybody thinks is such a great leader. You know that Trump pointed out the fact that there were 4,000...
stashed in Jersey. In Edison, New Jersey, yes. What did he say about that? I'm sorry, we ran out of time, Arthur. Call back. You can call back today if you want. I'm Howie Carr.